Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The show begins live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, number 942. How are we doing on plans for show 1000? Any word on that?
We're working on it. Allegedly.
Okay, so you guys will get back to me.
Yeah.
It's on a need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know.
We still have 58 show, or 57 to go.
My concern is we'll wait till show 1010.
Well, wouldn't that be fitting?
Kinda.
We'll have a meeting around 998.
Kinda. Our friends at the Lighthouse, really cool group. They'll be in later. Orion Samuelson's on the show today. Bridget Gaynor will join us from the Cook County Board. Got a great kid of the week, as always. And, of course, the top six at six in just a second. Samber just reminded me of something that happened yesterday. And this, in the big picture of things, may seem minor. But there is an obliviousness to society now in regards to other people have things to do as well. Other people are living in the same world, in the same space I'm living in. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just holding the door. It's more than just basic manners, all the things we ought to do anyway. Remember the book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten? Put stuff away where you got it.
Be polite.
Be polite, all those things. So the Tribune Media parking lot here has one exit. Mm-hmm. Small parking lot has one exit. Yesterday, Sandberg's pulling out in front of me, or at least trying to. Let me go live to Sandberg now. Why couldn't you leave?
There was an 18-wheeler blocking the exit.
Just pulled up in front of the exit.
Right in front
of the exit. Just pulled up right in front of the exit. Now, there's probably 100 cars in that parking lot.
Right.
Nobody's getting out.
Nobody.
And the driver, fortunately, hadn't walked off for lunch. He was taking pictures or something.
Yeah, he was writing on a clipboard, and so when I
think his clipboard said, "Why I'm a jackass," and then he had notes.
I was pulled up, and Steve was behind me, and Steve honked, which was his method of trying to get some attention.
Yeah, well, I was going, "Where's the?"
I hopped out of my car because
you were first in line.
I was circling the truck, and then I found the guy, and I said, "Hey, you're blocking our exit," and he looked very put out about having to move the truck back.
You're kidding!
But in the meantime, I was laughing pretty hard because Steve sometimes isn't great with time management, and here he was going
to
be
such a nice way to put it.
And here he was like trying to get to this golf outing that he's doing for these kids with cancer, and it's a really big deal. And no one would believe I was late because there was an 18-wheeler blocking the exit.
Right.
You know, I thought it was so funny.
I can give you a parallel to that. About 10 years ago, coming in to do the 12:30 show, whatever time that thing started. I'm following a truck with like an open pickup bed in the back, and a mattress flies off, and a couch flies off, and I hit a couch on the Stevenson.
Oh, no.
Now, what do you think when I told people here that I hit a couch on the Stevenson?
You
did not.
No. Did not, yeah.
You're late. I have presents for you guys.
All right.
Food?
No, it's not food. It's from yesterday. For Mike Jacobson, I have Chicago White Sox socks.
Ooh.
Nice.
Huh?
Very nice.
He's a White Sox fan.
They look comfortable.
Yeah, they actually are.
There you go, Mike.
For Dave, I have a tiny bottle of Jim Beam Black Label.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. There you go, David.
You're all from the...
Can I switch gifts with Dave?
No.
I'll share with you, Mike.
No.
That's funny.
Well, that looks like that's just advertising. Probably should have gone over these in the car. I have White Sox tumblers as well. The White Sox are big sponsors of this event because of Billy Pierce. Nice. Steve, you're a White Sox fan, aren't you?
Me?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I'm a Cubs fan.
That's what I thought. You're a White Sox fan. So I got two of these.
Excellent. I'll wear those with pride. These.
And then there's this art thing, which is kind of cool, which I think, you know, Sandberg, you'll like and Andre will like, except I'm concerned about what I left in here.
Oh.
It's an artist who takes old baseballs and he tears them apart and he makes stuff out of them.
Oh, cool. You know what? David Kaplan one time, I think, knows that artist or whatnot, and they made cufflinks out of an old baseball.
Cufflinks out of an old baseball. I was going to give these to Pat.
Wait, oh, she just stole your punchline.
Well, that's not even a punchline.
I didn't even know.
Right?
Oh, that looks cool.
Give him to Pat.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Or let's do this. Tell me you're going to give him to Pat.
Oh, yeah, I'll give him to Pat. He wears cufflinks.
Would you? One of you two?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
That's a really cool idea.
That is so cool.
And then for Steve, let's give Steve this one, unless you want that one. That's
well,
a keychain.
Yeah, I'll take that one.
That's
give
a
him the white
chain
Sox
with the baseball
tumbler.
Thing. I want to give this artist
okay,
credit.
Okay, sorry, Steve, you wouldn't like it. It's a little.
Do we have the name of the cufflink?
The artist is right here.
It is pink. It's like an orangey color.
It's called America's Game, and the artist is Nathan Ruckert. Ruckert. And again, what he does is he takes old baseballs. It's 2001. He's been tearing apart old tattered baseballs and giving them new life in the form of unique handcrafted original artwork. You can go to Baseball Seams Co. Cool. Baseball Seams, SEAMS.co.com.
You know what? I'll take a picture of these and post them on the website with a link to the.
That's an American flag made out of old baseballs.
And I'll put it on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page.
Here, Mary, you can take a picture of the keychain, too.
Right. And a picture of my bottle of Jim Beam Black Extra Age Bourbon.
Susan, you're a big White Sox fan, aren't you?
Well.
Say yes.
So we have two White Sox tumblers.
I appreciate the thought.
And the America's Game flag, which is pretty cool.
That's very cool. On their website right now, there's a whole book of stuff. And, wow, that flag is really cool.
Yeah, well, you've won the flag. Congratulations.
There we go.
We're going to have the I'm going
to
say the flag.
You know what? There's the news guy, the new news guy, Domity, is upstairs. He might be interested in White Sox.
Is he a big White Sox fan?
Yeah, because he's in for Ryan Burrow.
You're a White Sox fan, aren't you? He's here.
I'm going to give the other White Sox tumbler to you, Jake. These would be good for you and Audrey on the way to the weddings that you go to every weekend. Yeah. That's fine. Domity already gets one.
Okay. Yeah, that's very cool. He's on his way.
All right. And then I just want to thank those guys, and specifically Billy Pierce's family. Billy Pierce was the co-founder of this organization. It's Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities. All the money that they raise every year, and it's a big outing, goes to Lurie Children's, mm-hmm. to Northwestern, and to One Step Camp, where Colleen McGrath, our friend Colleen, who was on last week and is on all the time, she represents that camp well. So the kids that I played golf with yesterday, Megan, Connor, and a young man named David were nothing but fun. Now, let me tell you about David for a second. David is 11 years old and a good little golfer. Can hit it. He couldn't be more bored with putting. Putting just bores him to death. So he gets to the green. He just smacks it and he goes off to the next hole because he just wants to hit it as hard and as far as he can because he's an 11-year-old boy. So when I get there and we start playing golf, I introduce myself to everybody and he says, my name is Stacy. So for 4 hours, I called him Stacy. Well, 4 hours, 6 hours, I called him Stacy. And then the people from One Step Camp go, what'd you think of David? Isn't David fun? David convinced his two friends and the other guy that was playing in our group and me that his name was Stacy and he'd be called Stacy all day. Never let me off the hook.
That's hilarious.
Like a 5-6 hour drug. This kid, there's something special about this kid. Committing to a bit. He's either going into show business or he's going into politics because we know both are the same thing.
Politics. I would think more of that.
Lastly, about these guys, I had a great honor last night. I've been lucky in my life. I've been given various awards at different times. None of them really ever deserved, and certainly this one isn't. But the first ever Billy Pierce Award, which means a lot to me because I knew Billy a little bit, for helping these guys out. It's a beautiful plaque, and I'm going to hang it in my office, and very nice.
Congratulations.
Very cool,
nice.
Yeah.
And I saw Billy's wife. She looks fantastic. And she said what only a woman can say. When I went up to her and said, Gloria, you look beautiful. She said, well, how bad did I look before? So a nice time out there. 6:19. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Top 6 at 6 next on 720 WGN.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Unfortunately, we have to start with some horrible news this morning. In a rural area of Mississippi, a military plane has gone down with 16 aboard, and apparently all have died. The investigation as to what happened to the plane, why it went down, still all of that very, very unclear. But a Marine Corps aircraft went down north of Jackson, Mississippi, in a rural area of Mississippi, which rural area of Mississippi, not hard to be in, and 16 aboard. So prayers for their family.
They said there was a loud explosion before, indicating maybe it blew up in the air before it went down.
So it's got to be some sort of massive mechanical failure, right?
That's what they're thinking, yeah.
So, next. Democratic U.S. Senator, a man you may know, Dick Durbin, had a message Monday for Republican lawmakers trying to round up votes to get rid of Obamacare in favor of their own health care plan. If you break it, you own it. You remember, the Democrats know this well because the Democrats passed Obamacare without a single Republican vote and then lost a couple midterm elections. The Republicans are petrified this will happen to them. All of this should remind you of one thing. The politicians in Washington are no different than the politicians in Springfield. They're more interested in keeping their job than doing their job. So when anybody on the Republican side, since this is now their issue, starts talking about what really matters, and that is legitimate health care for people, not taking away what works now or coming up with something that won't work as well later, then that'll be fine. But I don't care if you get reelected. I don't. You're not entitled to your job. It's a privilege. I don't get, what's the technical term I'm looking for? I don't give a rat's ass if you are ever reelected to your job, if you go to work at your job in public service wondering how you're going to stay in that job. I know it's part of your world and your problem, but if that's how you do business, you don't deserve to be there. Next. Let's see. Before meeting with Kremlin-connected lawyer, who he was told had compromising information about Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump Jr. was informed that the material was part of a Russian government effort to aid his father's presidential candidacy. Now, this gets a little deep in the weeds for people outside of Washington. However, the idea that you would meet, even as a candidate, with a foreign government deemed to be one of our enemies and try to get information on your opponent and somehow think that's okay, you're either complicit or you're an idiot. Because the first call you make should be to the authorities, and specifically to the FBI. If you're not smart enough to call any Republican leadership and say, hey, we're new at this, an excuse that these guys have used before, is this okay if I do this? But you take the meeting, you bring Paul Manafort, who, by the way, has been in and around campaign since the 80s. So don't act like he didn't know this was wrong. Paul Manafort and Jared Kushner. And by the way, we figured out the adoption angle now.
Okay.
I don't know why it wasn't clear yesterday, because it should have been. That's my bet. But the adoption angle is this. The reason that Russian adoptions are part of the conversation is the sanctions on Russia are what caused Russia to stop, as one of their penalties against us, allowing American families to adopt Russian children. So in other words, they wanted a meeting where once you're president, if your father becomes president with the help of the Russian government, then we want these sanctions to go away, and then we'll take away this Russian adoption ban.
Mm-hmm.
So Russian adoptions, it's like an SAT question.
Right.
Russian adoptions are to sanctions as Vladimir Putin is to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So, next. President Trump named Randall Quarles, a former Treasury official who advocates limited regulation, to lead Federal Reserve oversight of Wall Street. You may remember not watching Wall Street sort of led to 2007, 2008. The lack of regulations, or the cutback of regulations, has led to a roaring stock market. You can have one, you can't have both. And you need to be careful about this. So it'll be interesting to see what Randall Quarles has to say. And then last night's home run derby was pretty darn entertaining. Let's go live to Dave, who is still at the home run derby. Tell me about Aaron Judge's 500-foot shot.
Well, he had four of them.
Four 500-foot
home runs. The longest one was, I believe, in his round against Cody Bellinger, fellow rookie, which was in the second round. And hit one 513 feet in that one. How about this, Steve? Of his 47 home runs, he hit 16, which had exit velocities of 115 miles an hour or more.
He really is unbelievable.
And, of course, it helped that Giancarlo Stanton, who was the favorite and the defending champ and playing in his home ballpark, went out in the first round in a big upset.
Wow.
But I thought, you know, this was, I think, and I watch the Home Run Derby every year, and I think it had kind of become like the slam dunk contest a few years ago.
I agree with that. Sort
of lost its edge.
Yeah.
I think this format has brought the intrigue back. I think having these young sluggers.
Yeah, and you got a shot clock on how long you can take the hit.
Yeah, the clock, you can call a timeout. I like the format. I think you've got some guys who are still relatively new faces, Justin Bour and Bellinger and Judge and Miguel Sano, who made
baseball
it to the
needs
finals.
It.
And absolutely, they need it. So I thought it was a really good night for baseball.
Well, good. Yeah. Good. Well, All-Star games tonight.
Reporting live from Miami, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
None of last year's World Series winning Chicago Cubs are there tonight, at least on the field. Finally, this, you remember Donald Trump tweeted yesterday, amongst his several tweets, about a dozen, if Chelsea Clinton were asked to hold the seat for her mother as her mother gave our country away, the fake news would say Chelsea for president. This after the blown-up controversy over Ivanka sitting in his seat, which was a non-story that too many people freaked out over. However, I enjoyed Chelsea's response. She tweeted back, good morning, Mr. President. It would never have occurred to me, or it never would have occurred to my mother or my father to ask me to sit in your seat. Were you giving our country away? Hoping not.
Great response, but you know what? I'm sorry. We got all hot under the collar when Barron and Barron comments were all over Twitter, and now he's going after Chelsea.
Yeah, but Chelsea's a grown woman.
I understand that, but she's to me.
Barron's a little kid.
I get that.
You know what? I think you get
that's
to be
a cheap shot.
You get to be 20. Well, she defended herself fine.
She did. Absolutely, she did.
You get to be 21 or older, and you choose to be a part of the public discussion, which Chelsea has. Then you have to play in this arena. But she's never without a defense against Donald Trump. I mean, you know, it's like taking candy from an orange-haired baby. It's 6:30. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Ooh, the Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
It's the Allstate Kid of the Week, and we thank Allstate for the partnership for sure. Allstate believes good starts young and works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place. You want to nominate a kid for Kid of the Week? Could be a kid you know, maybe a kid you just want us to know. And you can do it here on the Steve Cochran Show. Win great prizes. The kid will, at least, including an Amazon gift card and Lou Malnati's pizza. Oh, did you guys buy anything on Amazon Prime Day?
I still have to get Prime.
Oh, it goes on today, but what are you waiting for?
I don't know. My wife was shopping last night, but I don't know how much she actually bought.
Oh, okay. Are you still living in the house?
So far.
Okay, then you're probably all right. Amazon Prime Day continues today. Nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week by going to WGNRadio.com/contest to submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be the Allstate Kid of the Week, like young Ben Witkoff, who's standing by the phone right now. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Now, Ben, you're 12?
Yes.
And I'm fine, buddy.
I'm 13.
Okay. When's your birthday?
August 31st.
Okay. August 31st. I'll make a note of that. Dave, let's get Ben something for his birthday. Now, Ben, I mentioned this at the top of the show that I spent the afternoon yesterday in a golf tournament with an 11-year-old kid who told me his name was Stacy when his real name was David. Are you really Ben?
Yes.
Oh, I thought all you 12 and 11-year-olds were trying to pull one over on me. Let me tell people why you're Kid of the Week, because this is a cool story. For Ben's mitzvah project, his bar mitzvah is in August, Ben addresses justice and equality, applying for the right for every human to, and pushing for every human to have enough to eat. What did you do about that?
So for my bar mitzvah, you obviously get to have a party, okay? Mm-hmm. So I had a pool party, and I invited a ton of people because, I mean, why not?
Sure, right. You only get bar mitzvahed once.
True. And then if I have a ton of people, then why not have them donate food or something like that, okay?
Okay.
So I thought of the idea, like, because, like, I got all the food that day of, and we just got it all and bring it home and pretty much put it in the food pantry close to us, the Hillside Food Pantry. So
okay.
Pretty much the pool party just made the whole thing possible. So I'm going to thank my parents a lot.
Yeah, no kidding. And how many grocery bags of food did you end up putting together?
The amount of, I think, 500 pounds of food.
Yeah, and it looks like over 100 grocery bags of food.
Yeah.
They went directly to the Evanston Food Pantry, all from Ben's Pool Party, which, by the way, would be a good name for a cable show, Ben's Pool Party.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know that you're going to continue to do this stuff over the summer. I hope your friends were inspired.
Yeah, well, I was the last one to have my bar mitzvah. Like, all my friends had their bar mitzvah, like, way before me.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them, like, did, like, donating sports equipment and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Super Agent Steve Mandel's son was just bar mitzvahed about a month ago.
Nice.
So congratulations there as well. How's your studying going, Ben?
It's pretty good. And so my party was, like, before my bar mitzvah. So sure. I'm having my bar mitzvah August 26th.
Okay.
So I'm studying pretty well, but I'm going off to camp, so I have to keep studying there. Sadly,
It's not going to be just fun and games. You've got to know the Torah.
Yeah, I have to study, too.
All right. Well, listen, I'm very impressed with what you've already accomplished here, and your friends at Haven Middle School in Evanston, I'm sure, are as well. That's where the nomination came from. Say hi to Ben.
Hey, Ben. This is wonderful because, you know, some people think of donating food just around Christmas or Hanukkah, around the holidays, and they always are in need of food. Is this what they told you, too? They're always in need of food, especially in the summer months. So this was very smart thinking of you.
Yeah. Like, I'm the head of the food pantry, said, like, they're always in need of food because there's, pretty much, they're not just trying to collect food and give it out quickly. Like, they're pretty much organizing all of the food, and then on like a Friday or a Saturday, they take it out and they just distribute it to different places that have people who are hungry.
And you got to keep that effort up. So get your friends with all the energy of all your 12-year-old network and tell them to keep it up.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you getting up. Hold the line. We got an Amazon gift card and Lou Malnati's pizza for you as well. Good kid, huh?
Really good kid.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice thing.
Sandberg talked to his agent, his father, yesterday, and was able to book him.
100 bags of food.
Yeah, 500 pounds of food.
That's fantastic.
Big deal. Anybody else on this show donate 500 pounds of food this week? No.
Not yet.
None of us have. We're all disappointed in each other. At 6:47, we move forward now. And don't forget, Kid of the Week. Again, the Allstate Kid of the Week. Just go to the WGNRadio.com webpage, follow the links there, and you'll be good to go.
And we have to say congratulations and good luck to Ace Henry.
Kid Ace!
From 2 years ago, little football player.
He's not so little anymore.
Not so little anymore. He goes to Atlanta today. He'll be training with the U.S. national team.
This kid's got a future in the game.
I think he does.
And his dad's a good guy, right?
Bill Henry, yeah. He's a great guy. Good friend.
And Bill, it's okay if you occasionally think, no cost college. No cost college.
Totally.
At 6:47, the sickest member of our staff joins us now, and I don't mean that in a dark humor sort of way. I mean that in a nasty, cold sort of way. Susan Burke is filling in for me. Are you sure you're okay to work?
You know, I'm much better today.
Oh, you are? So this is that phase of the cold where you sound worse than you are.
Exactly. I feel absolutely fine.
Okay. Kind of sexy.
I hope I'm not bringing you guys down.
Oh, you are.
No.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
No, what are the cars doing? We got a new member of the staff we haven't met on the air. And I asked that he be dragged down here against his will so we could say hi to him. It's a very unique name, too. Your name is Domite?
Domite.
I apologize. How do I spell that?
D-O-M-E-T-I. Domite.
Domite. Well, that's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Well, what's the derivation?
It's from Ghana.
And is it a common name in Ghana?
So it's not that common a name, but it comes from the Volta region, and it means the backbone of the family, the backbone or the pillar of the family.
And how many generations ago did your family come from Ghana?
Really? I'm first generation, actually.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. They got here in the 70s, both my parents.
Okay, and what brought them here? They just decided they wanted to try the USA?
Just try it out.
Yeah, swing by the USA, see what's up.
Seemed pretty cool. No, my dad got admitted to University of Chicago. That's where he got his doctorate.
Oh, so he's an idiot.
So, yeah. He's a dumb guy, you know.
My
mom was dumb enough to follow him, so.
And what did they end up doing career-wise?
Oh, so he taught for a while. He's actually got his PhD in divinity. Theology, rather. And he taught for a while, and oddly enough, is an RN now. And my mom
is that right?
Yeah. How crazy is that?
What a wild transition.
Second career RN, yeah. Really odd
transition. So smart enough to do the U of C,
Yes.
And then gets his degree.
Yes.
Well, I mean, medicine and spirituality, they go together.
They kind of go together. Sure. And and he was teaching, but I think he didn't get a chance to teach philosophy in the way that he wanted to. He was teaching math and disciplines that weren't related to what he studied. So.
And how about your mom? What's your mom do?
And my mom's RN too. Been RN all my life.
Both nurses.
And get this, both of my sisters are in the medical field. So my eldest is a dentist. And the one under her.
Dude, you're in show business.
I'm the only one crazy
black
enough
sheep of the family,
to go into
man.
Show right? business. No kidding.
How many brothers and sisters?
Just two big sisters.
Two big sisters.
Yeah.
And how old
yeah.
are you?
28.
Yeah, you. By the way,
I just made 28, by
the way. By the way, I can't ask that technically. Right. You got a great voice.
Yeah, thank
really
you.
Great voice.
Thank you.
And
thank
a great
you.
Attitude. I love your smile, and you've been a nice addition around the hallways. But what are we going to do with you?
I appreciate it.
I mean, are you looking to get Bertrand fired, or what do you want to do?
Well, you know, I'm on Saturdays, and I've just been hanging around. I'm one of those guys who just doesn't leave, so I'm pretty
that's
much
the right
just
attitude.
Here. Yeah,
that's right
yeah.
attitude. But what do you want to do? Do you know?
No, for
You're
sure.
You're a good looking dude. You want to do TV? You want to do video? What are you going to do?
You know, if they allow my mug to, you know, come on with you from time to time on TLTV, sure. I wouldn't say no. But yeah,
that's a good
no,
idea. How about the Doma Tea Minute in the 9 o'clock hour on
there
CLTV?
Goes.
There you go. That could
yeah.
work.
Yeah, sponsored by Doma Tea's family.
Yeah, exactly.
there it goes. Sponsored by Ghana.
What were you doing before you?
No,
came
before
in?
Before I came here, I was had a few jobs. So I was a news director at another station, also working that concurrently. I was teaching broadcasting at the Illinois Media School, and I ran their radio program.
Oh,
for
you're hustling.
Year or so. Yeah, yeah.
Getting the bills paid.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you
and
married?
I actually met Mary at some panels I was doing too across
oh,
the city. So we do different panels.
Were you frightened
the city.
By her? Because we're afraid of her.
She's very, very scary.
Yeah, see? Yeah, no one's about it.
Scary, we're talking scary about Sandberg, what we call it.
We're talking about Sandberg here. Yes, because she's very direct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
and
very direct. Yes.
And she's and it's funny when I told people that you know, we hit it off and she just had great feedback. They say she's a no BS kind of person.
There
so
you go.
When she likes you, you're in good shape.
Yeah, she does like you. So far you're okay.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything you want us to know about you?
Well, I'm a news guy. I'm a news junkie. You asked what I want to do. I want to tell stories that elevate all parts of Chicago, right? We have so many neighborhoods in Chicago. Like you said, I'm a White Sox fan, but de facto, just because I grew up on the South Side.
Sure.
I think what I love about WGN Radio is that we're a neighborhood, a Chicago station. You know what I mean? And
that's pretty impressive that you know that at 28.
Yeah, yeah. You know, my dad has inadvertently been prepping me for talk radio because he listened all while I was growing up. All he listened to was talk radio and right. blasted it like it was music. Yeah. Like he blasted talk sure. radio, and I never thought I'd be in the industry. Now I'm meeting Ro and meeting all of these folks that sure. that pops listen
well,
to.
Well, don't let Ro drive you out of the
yeah,
business.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm still here, so yeah. you gotta love it.
Well, how old are your parents? They gotta be what, early 50s, late 40s?
No, Dad's 75.
Oh, so you're the baby in the family.
I'm the baby baby. Yeah,
got it,
sister is well, she'd kill me if I said her age, but she's old.
Come on, she got how old?
She's not even 40 yet. She's
yeah, stop.
Young.
Okay, there
she'd
you
kill
go.
You.
She's not even funny yet.
She
oh,
will.
40 yet.
She will.
Are you an uncle?
Yeah, six times over.
Good for you.
Five
hope you
nieces,
enjoy that.
One nephew.
But you're not married.
I'm not married.
You're single?
I'm allergic. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And I am single.
It.
Well, you're a good looking dude.
Thank you.
Yeah, you ought to be just fine in this city.
Thank you.
Tell us something we never would know about Ghana.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah, have you been home?
That is great.
Did the family go
home? So actually, right. I plan trips to Ghana. I've taken over the past 2 years, 50 people back and forth
really?
To Ghana.
Wow, good
yeah.
for you.
And I'm planning another one in March.
Andrea loves to travel. She's
yeah,
traveled all
I'm
over the world,
man,
but she's never done Ghana,
let's do it.
Right?
Let's do it. So we plan these excursions. We go. We went in 2016, went earlier this year for Ghana's independence, which is March 6th.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
And am I right about let's this? Ghana is one of the more politically stable countries in Africa, right?
It was the first country to declare independence from colonial rule.
That's
the
fantastic.
Very first
and
one.
Holding their own with trouble on the borders.
Absolutely.
Doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah, doing okay. There's a lot of progress, too. They talked about the 60-year anniversary of their independence. There are a lot of progress that needs to happen as far as, you know, infrastructure, yeah. things like that. So.
Well, that's impressive. But you still haven't answered the question. Something we don't know about Ghana.
Oh, that it was the first country to get into.
You got
to
give us another one now.
Let's go deeper. That the de-economy drives the whole country. So if you go there, it's not that you go into a Walmart per se, but they've got shops and vendors all along the streets. Mm-hmm. And that really drives the entire economy. So everyone is a business person, wow. pretty
so
much.
So a tourist cool. would go there, you would plan on negotiating your price on the street, like you go in and you go, the guy
you,
trying
you
to
You know
sell,
this. You've been,
guy trying to sell it says here, $5, you're going to know, $4, whatever. What's the local money?
Yeah, the cost cities. It's called cities, and it's about 4 to 1 to the American dollar.
Cities.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called
okay.
cities. So, you know, if someone quotes you a price, here's something. If you ever go to Ghana, in most African countries, if they quote you a price, it's probably actually half of that. So if they say 50 cities, give them 25.
Oh, that's good to know.
Right. Especially if you're an American. If they can tell you're an American.
I'm going with you. Ghana 2018.
All right, but
Ghana
settle on 35. The man's got to make a little money.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there
Let's
you go.
Do it.
Well, it's great to have you on.
It's great to have you.
All right, we'll be working on the Doma T Minute.
The Doma T Minute, that was a nice ring to it. What you think, Dave?
Yeah. I think that's great, Doma T. I'm all for it.
By the way, weird thing. You didn't know this. Fifth Doma T we've had here at the station. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's such a common name. Isn't it
crazy? 6:59, News Next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. It's a beautiful day. I can't stop myself
from smiling. This is from Mike Jacobson's new special collection of summer bumps that make him happy. It's a good song. 7:14, what the hell is going on at retail? Retail stores closing left and right and right and left, and now you got an Amazon Prime Day. Amazon is so big and so powerful, an Amazon Prime Day right now may shut down a few more chains. It's not good. Or is it? I remember a decade called the 90s. And by the way, coming up, we're going to play something called the 90s game, which you should do well in. That's your decade.
I love the 90s, yes.
Okay. And CNN's got their 90s series that's running now.
I'm going to watch that. I DVR'd it.
It's good.
Yeah.
So we're going to play the 90s game coming up, see how much you know about the 90s. But it was around 95, maybe, when we all had 2.8 modems on our Commodores. And you'd sign on to your computer and it'd go, and you thought, man, am I living?
Yeah, big time.
45 minutes later, your web page would load.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you had that kind of time then. You don't have that kind of time now. And now you want to order, you want to shop, you want to come into your house. How is it that we have simplified our life and we've never been busier?
That's a great question.
Right?
I mean, my gosh. Because we're so dialed in. I mean, we're literally. You can,
I don't know.
You know
who I blame? I blame our guest. I blame Paul.
No.
Yeah, I haven't even met Paul, and I already blame you, Paul.
You're shopping your car now.
Well, good morning.
Yeah, I don't know how this is your fault, Paul, but it's got to be your fault because it's not mine.
Well, I apologize.
Paul, pronounce your last name for me.
DiRigo.
Paul DiRigo, 15 years of experience in logistics, fulfillment, e-commerce. First off, this is Amazon Prime Day. With the fragility of bricks and mortar retail, could this literally close another chain or two today?
I think it definitely puts stress on the brick and mortar retail world. But part of the focus of Prime Day and something to note is that it's really a membership drive
right.
to get more Amazon Prime members and more people buying the Kindles and the Fire Sticks and buying products in the Amazon ecosystem. So that's kind of the target, but once those people are signed up to Prime, they likely will then go to brick and mortars less and then apply more pressure.
We thought this was going to happen in the 90s, as I mentioned, with our 2.8 modems. Everybody's going to stay in their house and their computers, and society will crumble as we know it. Obviously, that didn't happen. Why is now different?
Well, there's a lot of things. It takes time for people to get comfortable with buying. I feel like in the 90s, maybe we weren't comfortable with putting our credit card or payment in online.
Right. Good point.
Also the speed of the logistics networks has grown so much. You know, I mean, I remember when you used to watch something on television and it would say 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. If you were to order something online or over the phone, maybe it'd be 5 to 10 days. Now we're expecting 2 days. With an Amazon Prime membership. And so then that really starts to then put it in perspective of if it's worth driving to the store or not.
Andre, you do a lot of online shopping. You're not a Prime member. Why?
I need to be a Prime member. I always either borrow somebody's Prime or I just order the items where I can get the free shipping.
So you haven't taken the time to do it?
No, I
need to. It takes about
to.
2 minutes.
I know. I need to do it because I think I'll make it up in, what, 2 months or so. Well, you think it'll show. But...
You could make it up very quickly because the free shipping is one thing, but there's also music and entertainment and films and TV stuff you can access now as well.
You know what you can also do, too, in addition to shopping? I just took advantage of there was this Mediterranean diet that I tried for about a week or so, and you can get fresh food, you know, fresh deliveries now. And now that Amazon has bought Whole Foods, the grocery business, I think, is going to really pick up. Instead of, we just used to have like a Peapod.
Yeah, and Peapod was probably a little ahead of its time because people didn't catch on to that either.
Right.
But Paul, talk about the Whole Foods partnership. How fast will this be up and running and normal to the rest of us?
Well, Amazon has already had their Amazon Fresh service running in the Seattle area, kind of working the logistics. And, you know, that Whole Foods acquisition instantly gives them a distribution network of those highly perishable items. And so that should allow them to ramp up very quickly. And then, you know, I could see in a few years it becomes very routine that you buy these very fresh, no preservative, perishable products, and you have them delivered to your house 2-3 times a week.
Now, but can we deal with, you know, buying meat and, you know, fast spoilables like that? When are we going to have confidence to do that, or are they not going to do that?
Well, you see the likes of like Blue Apron, who recently IPO'd. You know, they do the shipping of perishable items like meat and such with their own type of packaging. So they're doing it. They're being quite successful. Amazon having the network of Whole Foods, that should just only make it easier for them to accomplish that.
Blue Apron, though, their IPO was open much lower than they thought because of this Whole Foods thing, right?
Yeah, pressure from that. Some say maybe it was a little too late in their evolution. You know, maybe if they had done it while people saw a much larger opportunity ahead of them. But yeah, definitely Amazon with Whole Foods. It's like what we saw Amazon saying they're going to do something like Geek Squad, and then that instantly hits Best Buy. You know, everybody knows that Amazon's going to disrupt any industry that they really put their mind to.
Paul, how big of a role do you think drones will continue to play? I know when that was rolled out, it was so cool and so neat, and they did a couple deliveries that way. Do you think that's a fad, or do you think that's the way of the future? We're going to see many, many more of those.
You know, when I look at it from a logistics perspective, you know, the drones have a weight restriction. You know, there's only something so big. You can't move a gallon of milk, probably, or a lot of stuff with that. And so if you have an order where you buy something small and light that can go in a drone, and you buy something that's very heavy, it's just going to go via the truck because there's already a delivery going to your house. So I could see the drones coming in maybe, you know, like prescription delivery, something that's very light, very high value, people might need and willing to pay. I could see it with things like that, but again, if we're looking to commit to buying a large variety of our products from, say, Amazon, it's probably going to be too large to be moved by a drone.
Walmart is in this game and playing a pretty good job of keep up with Amazon. They bought something called Bonobos. What is Bonobos?
That is an online-focused men's apparel retailer. You
Wait,
know,
Dave, you're a Bonobos pants
yeah.
guy.
I have some shirts, too. Yeah, you go into the stores, but they order it. It gets sent to you. You don't actually walk out of the store with the clothes.
So this is like the joke from 40-Year-Old Virgin where you go into the eBay store and you see the stuff on the wall, but then it's sent to your house.
Yeah, you get fitted. I mean, you could try it on, but you don't actually take the merchandise home from the store.
See, that's great because men, you guys, when you buy clothes, your pants especially...
I'm not going into a store to try pants.
...are fitted. But women, we can wear a size 6, a 4, an 8, a 10. It just depends on the particular brand and the size.
I get the concept for a high-fashion guy like Dave Ennett, but I don't have that kind of thing. I mean, who's going to play golf if I'm doing that?
Well, that's true, too.
Walmart in general, though, would you agree is doing a pretty good job of keeping up with Amazon, or have they fallen behind?
They're definitely spending a lot of money. They bought Jet, you know, they bought Moncloth, they bought Bonobos. But it was interesting, like Walmart, they tried to do a membership like Amazon, and where you got free shipping and such. They've since abandoned that and gone the route of just giving away the two-day shipping if you break $35. So that's very generous, and maybe on a straight retail that could generate a lot of sales, but then they're not cultivating that whole ecosystem like Amazon, where they get you in there and you're buying movies, you're buying
right.
books, and you're buying this. So, you know, it's if Amazon's not looking to make any money on those products, they're just looking to break even on the physical retail products and just get you in there and make money on you other ways, then it's going to be hard to compete. Now, Walmart, though, brings the largest footprint, the most distribution centers, the most buying power and stuff like that. So they're definitely doing a great job. And, you know, when they're buying these companies, you can see Walmart seeing that they need some premium brands. They can't just be looking for the cheapest product and a race to zero, that they're trying to buy premium brands that people will pay a premium for, and especially online.
Yeah, what the hell's going on at Target? Target seems completely messed up to me. Plus, I just heard the other day that Target, a store that I've loved forever, mm-hmm. that Target's going to redo tons and tons of their stores at a time where retail is a mess. The problem with Target is not that the stores don't look right. Mm-hmm. The problem is merchandise is not always in stock.
Or
registers aren't staffed. Mm-hmm. Customer service is not what it once was there. Target used to be the place you'd go in thinking you'd spend $20, you'd spend $100, you'd walk out with all the extra things you need. Target's an afterthought for me now. And their stock's down too, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to say where Target, I see it as kind of in a limbo in between area where probably a lot of the similar customers who went to Target are now on Amazon. Maybe they've always tried to differentiate themselves from Walmart, and then they tried to come into the perishable grocery business long after Walmart, and then now they can compete with the Kroger's and
they got the retail ADD. They started a curbside delivery thing. They go halfway in, then they back out. They go halfway in, then they back out. So it's not working. Last question.
Do you guys find, Paul, aside from Amazon Prime Day and Black Friday, even though there's such a high demand for all these products, I heard a story that when the iPhone 8 comes out, they're going to price it between $800 and $1,000 because people will pay it. So are you seeing, even though there's a high demand, we're still willing to pay full price, with the exception of Amazon Prime Day and Black Friday, for so many of these gadgets and these items?
Yeah, that really then rolls to where it's, I mean, Apple's brand is so powerful, and they control it, and so they can charge a premium. They can charge whatever they want. You know, if it's a product that is, you know, you're Target selling it, Walmart selling it, Amazon selling it, and it's a brand that can't really control it and charge a premium, and they can sell it at whatever they want, you're going to see it just run to zero. But again, Apple, just so powerful, their brand. Anybody who doesn't adhere to the selling price, they can just tell them, well, you're not going to get the product. We know we're going to sell them all.
Yeah, it's idiot. You spend $800 on a new iPhone, you've lost your mind. It's, you know, at some point you have to go, well, what am I doing here? Android products are terrific as well, and there are other options in the world. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And where can people find out more about what you do?
Oh, that's spendmanagementexperts.com. We help e-commerce retailers and any other big shippers. We help them save on their logistics costs, which is one of the biggest cost centers as you're trying to compete now in this e-commerce world.
Sure. Spendmanagementexperts.com.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
743, and follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show. Facebook at Steve Cochran Show. 2016 award winner, Stevie Award winner for best guest, Bridget Gaynor joins us from the Cook County Board. Good morning, Bridget Gaynor.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing fine, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Last time you were on the show, you made a major announcement that nobody saw coming. A major announcement was about a new...
The world is still... It's,
The waves are still shocking through the household.
Yeah, major announcement was about a new puppy. How is the new puppy?
Mm-hmm. She's okay. There's been some flower bed destruction of neighbors. There's been a lot of, you know, chewing of furniture. But
was that your husband or the puppy?
This is my kids. Oh, it's my kids.
Got it. Yeah, and the little puppy's name is?
Leo.
Well, why Leo?
You know why? I think easy to say, easy to spell was always our first thing. And I think I was driving down Halsted and going through various things that we passed, and I must have passed something with Leo in it. We can't really remember. It's kind of like I can't really remember why my second daughter is named Lillian. Like, I was like, where did that come? We don't even know anyone named Lillian. But they tell you you can't leave the hospital till you name the baby. So
well, I can understand why you would name the baby something easy to spell, but why do you care what the dog spelling is?
No, it's easy to say. Yeah, I guess. That's
okay, easy to say. Oh, yeah.
My mantra.
You don't want to be out on the back deck yelling a name that could be confused by other people.
Right.
I mean, you know, you got to be careful about that. You never know where things are going to end up.
All right. So
only the paranoid survive.
All right. Enough fun. Let's get into the ugly stuff here.
Yeah.
What's going on with the soda tax? Is it happening or not?
So they just had another restraining order. A judge just maintained the restraining order. I think it was this morning or late yesterday evening. I think there's two issues. I think one, I mean, look, I was opposed, and part of the rationale was we had just increased the sales tax, and so it kind of hits the same set of industries. And I have probably more restaurant and hotel workers in my district up the North Lakefront on the northwest side. So part of it was the pushback from people. The other part of it was the implementation was really complicated. Where do you put it on the receipt? How does it get charged? And so I think for people in stores and restaurants, they needed more time. Now, whether they get more time or whether they overturn it, hard to say. You know, we have one of my colleagues passed away, Commissioner Robert Steele, several weeks ago, and he had not voted on the tax because he had been in the hospital. So if someone comes in that seat who's opposed to the tax, then there won't be the votes to maintain it. So
do you think that's part of the point of the stall, is waiting to see if that seat is filled by a Nova?
No, I think that the retailers, I mean, look, who knows what they're thinking overall, but I think that the retailers are looking at the fact that they just wanted to put it on pause. You know how this goes. I mean, once something becomes in existence, it's harder to unwind it. If it doesn't happen at all, it gets easier to stop.
Right.
So the July 1st was the implementation date, so I think there was a lot of pressure to say, if we're going to do anything, we need to do it by July 1st. The Commissioner Steele's passing kind of coincided with that, but obviously not related.
Bridget, we know you were against this. It's so absolutely vague, though. I mean, what we're hearing is that in addition to it being vague, I mean, there's unsweetened iced tea on there. There's juices with, say, 2% sugar on there. It's extremely vague, and I think people are just upset at the fact that another tax, another tax, another tax, in addition to Tony Preckwinkle saying, I think about a month ago, another property tax increase is inevitable. So it's just tax on tax on tax.
Well,
I think are you hearing that, too?
Yes, we're definitely feeling that. And in fairness to the president's comments on property tax, it was in response to a question of, you know, what happens if they repeal Obamacare?
Right.
The county has started to serve over 100,000 additional people who got the expanded Medicaid. So you can't just cut them off. There's going to be a desire to figure out some way to continue meeting their health care needs. And so the question was, well, what would you do in that case? Now, that's a whole nother kettle of fish as to what's happening in the health care bill. But I think there is this pushback on tax. I mean, the income tax just went up, and it's a concern because people know that even though the taxes are increasing, we still have these big pension and other liabilities that you don't know if it's actually solving the problem. So I think part of it was too much tax. And the other part of it was the complexity for restaurants and retailers. I mean, there's some talk about, you know, should you have something that just cuts across all drinks and it's a flat amount and it's easier to implement? That's something that people are going to, I think, start to discuss more and more.
The president says 10% tax cut across the board, and I immediately go to the previously described mental health institution that is the Cook County Jail, and the Cook County Sheriff's Department is going to get whacked hard by that. So that's just one of the concerns, but that's a significant one. So why do we have to be, and I'm not a Cook County resident, why do Cook County residents have to be blackmailed in such a way? I know the bills have to be paid, but is this the only way to do it?
No, you know what? Look, I think when you call for a 10% cut, you have to see what people can come up with. I mean, look, if you said to somebody, give me back the money you think you can live without, the answer to that is we need all of it.
Right.
You have to push people. Look, there are places within the county that you can streamline. That's an unavoidable fact. And everybody's got to participate in that. And like has happened in prior times where we've had to cut the budget, you know, you ask everybody for a certain amount and then you kind of go back and forth and say, okay, I can take more from you, I can take less from you, but you got to start somewhere. So, I mean, the sheriff's, look, you know, 40% of the county budget is just the sheriff's office.
Right.
And then there's also the state's attorney and other law enforcement. So, of course, their cuts are going to look big because they are the biggest part of the budget. And then you have the hospital, too. You know, I mean, so those are public health and public safety is really the vast majority of what we do. But, you know, both the sheriff and the president have done a really good job of, in the last couple of years, reducing the amount of nonviolent offenders in jail. And, you know, now there's this talk about should people even be in jail if it's because they don't have the money to pay bond, or
right.
should it just be because they're too dangerous or they're a flight risk? You know, if someone's never left the neighborhood they're from, but they don't have $500, do we want to be housing them at $150 a day plus all the other overhead?
No,
you know,
it's idiotic.
I think sometimes, yeah, well, sometimes that's, you know, the budget constraints force you to make what are actually smarter decisions, but they're hard. So people don't make, they don't do things that are hard unless they're forced to do them.
So here's what I want to do. Take a quick break. We'll come back. Andrea's got a couple other things to ask about. And I also want to see if you remember why you named your other children the names you gave them.
I have a good story for the first one.
Yeah. All right, good. Bridget Gaynor, more in a moment. $7.55 and 2016 Stevie Award winner for Best Guest, Bridget Gaynor from the Cook County Board is here. And Andre, your thought on, or your question for Bridget?
Quickly, Bridget, I wanted to ask you about, there was a story just a couple days ago about an ID. It would be a Cook County ID card, basically for those living in the U.S. illegally. Tell us about that.
You know, it's actually, it's more than that. So Anna Valencia is a city clerk. She wants to have this thing called a municipal ID. And there's actually a lot of people who have a hard time getting an ID. So she and I have been working on it for the past couple of months. And my interest in it was, you know, kind of speaking about this jail population we talked about. A lot of people leave jail. They don't have a driver's license. And so then they don't have an ID. And then it's hard to get a job. You can't file for an apartment. It just kind of keeps that cycle going. And I even think, like, so my son is 15. He doesn't have a driver's license, obviously, yet. He's too young to get a state ID, which I don't know why that is, but he is. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of, you know, he has a school ID, but there's no kind of official thing that he can have it as an ID. Then there's people who are either homeless or kind of, you know, in and out. And it definitely, you know, it obviously will serve an undocumented population. But, you know, this idea of it's getting harder and harder to get a driver's license. And for people that don't have a regular residence or other things like that, it can get in the way. And then they're kind of further outside of the standard economy of employment and apartments and, you know, the legal
so you like the
you
idea.
To live in. I do like the idea. I think it makes sense. And I think there's a bunch of people, different groups that aren't connected. I mean, there's a whole group of judges at the county court who want an ID that doesn't have their home address on it because, you know, there's been some violence associated
with judges. Right. Judge was murdered.
Horrible, but true.
Yeah.
So there's a way to manage the whole legality piece of it. But I actually think when you start to dig in, there's groups of people that might actually really benefit from this. Teenagers, people leaving the correctional system, you know. So I think there's a couple different uses for it.
Yeah, well, I'd like a fraudulent one to go with my burner phone. As you know, I'm a secret agent.
We want to maintain that secret identity.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Chicago Public Schools borrowed another $500 million at just short of loan shark interest rates. We're waiting to hear on whether or not junk bond status will kick in even with the new budget. So what's the new budget mean to Cook County?
So, you know, the county gets a lot of money from the state for especially things around law enforcement and corrections, the juvenile detention center. So we have to borrow money because they're not paying us. So, you know, to some degree, it helps us because we don't have to borrow as much, especially short term. You know, the fact that we've been 2 years without it obviously means that we've already spent a bunch of money that was unnecessary.
Yeah, how about this? $7.5 billion in long-term debt for the Chicago public school system, which doesn't include the borrowing from yesterday. Holy mackerel.
it's really hard to wrap your head around. And the thing that I worry about for the city is, to some degree, some of this too little, too late. And, you know, what is it going to take to get back on strong footing?
Yeah, shut the schools down. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know how the city school system can ever dig out of that hole.
No.
So anyway, all right, last thought, Andrea.
Last one, Bridget. Yeah. Speaking of shutting down, will the old Cook County Hospital ever be torn down? Every time I drive past that, I mean, it was once a beautiful building, but it just, you know, filled with spray paint and the chain link fence.
It's now going to be the biggest Starbucks in history.
Probably.
Because we need more of that. It's important. So, you know what? Actually, there's a really interesting project that they're working on, which would be both like a public and private partnership. So, yes, the old hospital and Santas Clinic is going to be torn down, and that is long overdue from happening. I had one of my friends was a doctor there, and she said it was so bad that in 3 pregnancies, she never used the bathroom. So, you know, put that where, from an evaluation standpoint. But they're investing in new, the clinic's going to be replaced, but there's also going to be a public-private partnership that is going to bring a hotel and some offices, because just think about how much that neighborhood has changed in the last 15, 20 years.
Sure.
Ton of development, a lot more interest. You know, that one hotel opened over by Rush 10, 15 years ago, and they said they're completely oversubscribed. So the Illinois Medical District is kind of has the master plan for that whole area. Suzette McKinney runs that, and they're putting together things that not just Cook County Hospital can use, but services at Rush and U of I, and they all can use. So I think that's really exciting.
And they're going to Dick Wolf's doing one last series as they tear it down called Chicago Bathroom, and it's just going to be shot in the Cook County Hospital bathrooms. It's a horror.
I think that he has nowhere else to go on series, so maybe you might be closer to the truth than you think.
So we don't have time to hear the story of why you named your first child the one you did, so that's the big tease for your next appearance on the Steve Cochran Show.
Hanging, right, on the, you know, people, the cliffhanger.
So we look forward to your next major announcement as well.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
I'll
thanks.
Talk to you later. Have a great day.
Bridget Gaynor. We love Bridget. She's great.
Oh, she's great.
Dean Richards coming up. Stand by. That nonsense will start right after the news, which is not even close to nonsense. It's very serious business. And it's after this on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Live to Channel 9, it's Dean Richards. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
How are you?
A lovely compliment for our little segment yesterday. I was at an eye doctor appointment. And,
so you're getting your eyes checked?
I was getting my eyes checked, yeah.
Just see how smart I am?
Just to make sure. Had my eyes dilated yesterday. Isn't that
That's
the
not
weirdest,
fun.
Isn't that the weirdest thing
That
ever?
Is not fun. And that thing that the optometrist, and I don't wear glasses, but the thing the optometrists do where they get super close to you, then they blow air in your eyes.
Right.
I think that's just for fun. I think they just do that as like an optometrist bit.
I think that's to check for cataracts.
No. 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 It's just for fun.
I would do it. If I was an eye doctor, I would do stuff like that just for fun.
You know, the other thing, too, is that when they're testing your eyes, because I'm mildly colorblind. Hmm. I think you could tell by my stance on many things.
I never knew that about you.
Yeah, but when they go, what's better, this or this? This or this? This or this?
Can I see it again? Can I see it again?
We should have. You don't get two choices on everything for life, so just make one for me. Yeah. This. No, that. No, this!
I did a lot of that yesterday.
All right, so your eyes are okay?
But in between that, you know, yeah, my eyes are good. Okay. In the waiting room of this eye doctor's office, many, many fans of our little segment here.
Nice.
And, you know, we love that. And then they dilated my eyes, and you got to wait like 15 minutes until your eyes, you know, the pupils open up fully. And many people in that area also big fans of the show. And, of course, the highest compliment, this is the one I love hearing most, you guys are idiots.
You know what? That's really the sweetest thing you could say.
That's nice.
It really is.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
But maybe she meant it as, you know, when it comes to idiots, you guys are the best at being idiots.
No, she meant
so
idiots.
So it's like Well, top of the line.
Yeah, top idiots.
I took it as a complete compliment.
Chief idiots. This segment now sponsored. Who's stupid enough to sponsor this?
No, sponsoring Dean is Ravinia's CSO series. Because after CSO. His appearance and his hosting that night for CSO La La Land.
Yeah, and we love Ravinia.
Big time, yeah.
All right, so here's my question. When you got to the part after your pupils were dilated and no one in the room could see, how did they know it was you? Other than I think it was Billy Joel or Tom Skilling.
Or you.
Or me.
I didn't even think of that. I didn't think of that.
The power of recognizing Dean. Man, that's impressive.
Somehow I'm not as impressed anymore.
Rock.
Could have been anybody. Could have been The Rock. That's right. A lot of people mistake me for a Rock, not The Rock.
Coming up in the Dean Report, we should have a name for this. The Dean Report doesn't seem appropriate. The Dean thing. That's good, the Dean thing. Jay-Z, Janet Jackson, the Kardashians, a divorce in the, what? The papers? Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's not a divorce. I think I need my eyes dilated. The Rock presidential campaign is moving forward. Speaking of The Rock, John Oliver is in the news. Oh, we've got so much to talk about.
No wonder we're idiots.
There's a lot here. A whole lot here. And there was something yesterday, and I know you do the same thing. All you guys do this. There's something yesterday where you go, oh, I got to talk to Dean about this on the show. No idea what it was. And yesterday when I thought of it, here's what I remember. This is a must-do for tomorrow.
Great.
It was one of those things where you go, this is a great piece for the show tomorrow.
This will be great.
I bet I know what it is. I'm going to try and read your mind. Okay. Is it the American Idol?
No.
Okay, forget it.
It's not the Brady Bunch Idol either.
Okay. Is it Larry David?
No, but that's another one we'll add to the list.
Yeah, we had, no, that's on the list. Didn't I put that on the list?
No. Nope, you didn't.
I meant to. Right, I'll resend.
Just before we go to traffic here, I wanted to tell you that yesterday I was at the Chicago Baseball Cancer Charities golf outing. A fabulous time and a great group, and the Roth family are good friends, and the Pierce family are good friends were there. But in the midst of the outing, I played with three kids who were recovering from cancer. And they're great kids, and they could give a rat's behind about golf. One of the kids plays a little bit. And this kid is only 11 years old, and he's pretty good. Hits it a long way. He has putting ADD. Like, he gets to the green. Putting could be more boring to him. He just whacks it off the green. He giggles, and he walks away. But the kid introduces himself, Dean, as Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4 or 5 hours, I'm calling him Stacy. So I emcee the dinner last night, and we get inside the clubhouse. And the woman from Camp One Step, this amazing camp at onestepcamp.org, where these kids with cancer go and just be kids and have fun, she said, what'd you think of David? And I said, who's David? She said, well, that's David. I said, that's Stacy. And we went over, and he goes, yeah, I just thought it'd be funny. So for 5 hours, the kid committed to the bit for 5 hours. Excellent. He never told me his name was David.
That's excellent.
That kid's a future knucklehead, too.
He said he's going to grow up to be an ophthalmologist and blow puffs of air in your eye just for fun.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Channel 9 and Dean Richards. And, Dean, we have breaking news out of Palatine this morning.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, this
Let's go
was...
live to Palatine, where Andrea is standing by in Palatine. Are you in Palatine?
Steve and Dean, I am live in Palatine, allegedly. A former American Idol contestant. This is the AI story that I thought you guys might be interested in.
Yes.
Do you remember the name Haley Reinhart?
I do.
She was on season 10.
Yes.
Apparently went into a bar in Palatine over the weekend.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Had a little too much to drink, was told to leave, punched a security guard, proceeded to leave the bar, and again, allegedly beat her friend. She was arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery.
How big is this girl?
This girl's not very big. Maybe 5'4", 5'5".
And she's punching a bouncer?
Punched a bouncer, beat her friend.
Doesn't seem healthy.
Nah, it's not a good scene. Not a good scene. She'll be back in court on August 2nd.
What did the judges score the punch?
Allegedly. Where did
the judges score the punch well?
The judges gave the punch, I think, 9, 9, and a 10.
I thought she was pitchy. Yeah, a little bit pitchy.
A pitchy punch.
Or other words that rhyme with pitchy.
Ironically, though, her next album is called Better.
I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening either.
Yeah.
All right, live in Palatine, it's Andrea Darlis. Back to you guys.
Thanks very much. Appreciate that report.
Love those live reports. Yes.
Really are good. John Oliver's going to do a movie?
He's going to be a voice in the new Lion King movie.
Is he going to be like the nervous, insecure Simba?
Well, actually, he's not going to be nervous Simba. He's going to be the character Zazu. Do you remember that one?
I do.
The royal advisor to Mufasa and Simba.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's he's done other voice work before. He joins Donald Glover, Seth Rogen, James Earl Jones. This is CNN. And Billy Eichner now, who will be doing voices in this. I don't 100% understand this because it's supposed to be a live adaptation. But
I don't get it either.
If it's they're doing voices for animated figures, so maybe it's going to be like that Jungle Book that came out a year or so ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
You know, there are a lot of celebrity voices of animated, computer-generated figures and a couple of live humans in it.
I don't know. They're crazy what they're doing in Hollywood, these kids with their show business.
Crazy liberals.
Larry David and Curb returns on, is it October 1st?
October the 1st. They announced it yesterday. They put out a
this
little.
It's been like 10 years. It's been crazy.
It's been 6 years since it's been off the air. And, you know, they've been saying, you know, Larry's not sure, Larry's not sure, Larry's not sure, kind of teasing us along the way. But yesterday they put out a little trailer of Larry David dressed as Julius Caesar. Spinning on a pedestal very dramatically, which has nothing to do with anything, but it was funny. But it's now official. So October the 1st, if you're a fan of Curb as I am, we'll get our little fix.
More Kardashian drama?
Yesterday, Rob Kardashian was slapped with a restraining order by his ex, Blac Chyna.
Blac Chyna is actually a person. That's not Chyna in the cabinet.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not in a cabinet, nor is it a country.
Ah.
It's a person, and he had a little baby daughter with her who's now 8 months old. So this restraining order not only prohibits any physical contact between the pair, but it also prohibits the posting of any more pictures because he's alleged to have been posting explicit photos of Ms. Chyna on the web. She's accusing him of domestic violence. It's a whole big
back sexually
and forth.
Provocative photos.
Yeah,
like revenge porn.
Yes, exactly, like revenge porn. That's the other shoe that may drop with
it's kind of ironic that a Kardashian would be using a porn for some public reason.
A little bit, that goes around, comes around like that.
And putting it on social media, which is, wow.
What was also crazy. Interesting is Kris Jenner and many of the Kardashianites yesterday said they think this is terrible because it's putting a lot of public spectacle on the family, because that's never happened with the Kardashian family.
Kardashians, the one thing the Kardashians hate, it's public spectacles.
Yeah, and attention like that.
Yeah, too. They don't want attention. It's like Trump, he just wants people to tell the truth.
That's right.
Papers are being filed for The Rock to run for president.
I think this is kind of cool. The Rock's, joked about running for president on SNL. He allegedly launched his campaign with Tom Hanks being his running mate. Yesterday, an official campaign committee filed papers with the Federal Election Committee to draft Dwayne The Rock Johnson to run for president in 2020.
The Rock just going, hey, it was a bit.
Yeah, it was a bit, but the papers are going to be filed. And, normally you would say, of course, that could never happen in American politics.
Yeah, but not so much. We don't say that anymore.
We now know that anything can happen in American
politics. Putin's all of about 5'2 in heels. So can you see The Rock walking in to meet with him?
Putin with his shirt off to try to look more manly.
Right.
Around The Rock.
I have a headline from you that reads the following. Janet Jackson travels to New York City with baby.
That's right.
So apparently you're out of stories?
No, this is... what?
Well, she's on a plane with a baby, so what?
This is the first time that since she's had her little baby boy last January that she's traveled with him. She went to New York the whole time.
Do you have Janet Jackson goes to Costco with baby? Is that coming up?
Well, they didn't go to Costco, or I would be leading with that. If she bought a 17-pound jar of mayonnaise, that would be a big story.
It would be a big story.
But it was just the first time that she's had the baby that she's left London, went to New York to get some details ready for her concert tour, which is going to begin soon, coming to Allstate Arena in October, by the way. But there's a darling photo of her and her little 6-month-old son.
Yeah, cute kid.
Aisa is his name. And pictures of Janet carrying the baby the whole time. You know, a lot of superstar celebrities, they hire nannies for that. They have people to do that sort of thing. Janet carrying her little boy the whole time. And that's my big story for the day.
Well, it's nice. It's nice. Jay-Z's got to do a show here.
Jay-Z announced a concert tour that will come through Chicago in December, December 5th to be exact, at the United Center. Tickets for that are going to go on sale on Friday.
And finally, there's a new most-watched video on YouTube. What is it?
Yeah, well, first of all, the previously most-watched video on YouTube was that song Gangnam Style. By that
is that right? That was the all-time leader?
That was the most watched video of all time for the past 5 years.
Oppan Gangnam Style.
By Psy.
I used to love when Steve and I would step out onto the dance floor and our unified.
We'd go tandem on this. Smacking our own butts as we went across the floor.
It's like giddy up, right?
Ride him, horsey.
Right, giddy up. Right. Hey, sexy lady.
Wow. I can translate this. No one will ever hear from me again when the song is over. All right, so what's the new one?
It is a song called See You Again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. I think
it's
we
a
have
great
a
song.
Little clip of that.
How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you're going to be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
It's a song that's become, Dean, and you know this, very popular to be played at funerals.
That's right.
They're very sad. Funerals of kids that die, whether it's in gang gunfire or things of that nature.
Yeah.
But why has it become so big right now?
It's been pretty popular for a long time.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
This was the song that was used in the tribute montage that they did in Furious 7, the Fast and Furious movie, Furious 7, the tribute to Paul Walker, which was very moving to watch that. But people have picked it up, as you say, and they're using this now as, music.
It's a goodbye song.
At funerals, it really is very touching and quintessential goodbye song. It now has nearly 3 billion views on YouTube.
That is a lot.
3 billion. And I'm sorry, Psy and your Gangnam Style. Sexy lady. There's the door. You and Dennis Rodman, there's the door.
Maybe we could send Psy to talk to Kim Jong-un. All right, buddy. See you.
Bye.
I've known Luke Cannella since he was 7, and he was working at the old, he used to do stuff at AM 1000 before it was ESPN Radio, when I did the morning show there and the afternoon show.
Was he 7?
He was 7 then.
Because I gave him an award when he was in high school.
See? Go back a long way. Luke Cannella is spending Fox money and is in Miami for the All-Star Game. How's the expense account? Are they pretty good to you?
Oh, I'll tell you what, man. I am spending big time. I'm staying at the Biltmore in Coral Gables, and I'm taking advantage of it. You know me.
Run out Biscayne Bay and just throw one of those Fox $100 bills into the water.
Yeah. I'm not sure Fox is going to be printing money after tonight's ratings. I'm a little worried about this, especially in Chicago. I can tell you this. They were expecting big numbers. They thought that bringing South Florida its first Major League Baseball All-Star game ever would be a big deal, and it just isn't. You can get 9 tickets together in the upper deck for 54% cheaper than face value on StubHub right now.
That is unbelievable for a major event.
Unbelievable, Dave. Think about baseball in this city. I mean, first of all, you know Miami. Miami's all about winners. But in baseball's case, Marlins have been around 25 years.
Yeah, they know to draw.
They're hemorrhaging money. They're projected to lose $62 million this season.
You got to remember, the Marlins won two World Series in the last 20 years, and they can't fill the place.
They can't fill. They are the National League's worst when it comes to drawing fans to their home games. They carry the lowest paying TV contract at only $20 million a season in baseball, and they're on the hook for a staggering $488 million in future salary commitments.
Whoops.
They are doing nothing but losing money, but don't feel bad for the owner, guys. Jeffrey Loria bought the team for $158 million in 2002, and it's on the market, and he's going to sell it for $1.3 billion.
You got to wonder, though, Lou, because I was one of those people that thought baseball, when they expanded, would be huge in South Florida. I lived in South Florida for a bit. Makes total sense. You know, you have a large South American, Dominican, and Central American population there. You know, big Hispanic content in baseball. Obviously, the weather's good. And yet, nobody has ever come. When they were hot, when they won the World Series, they came back the next year. They would occasionally sell out. But there has literally never been a significant season ticket push for that team.
Not for baseball. And you know what? Steve, have you been to the new ballpark?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, it is.
I love New Marlins Park. It's terrific, and they've got the retractable roof. So, here, the heat index, I'm bringing it back to Chicago tomorrow. It'll be at about 100, 103 today.
Right.
So, I get it that you can't play in that type of heat and expect fans to show up, but they've got the roof, and still the fans don't go. It's sad. And, listen, they experience it with the heat now that LeBron's gone and Wade is gone. But when LeBron and Wade and Shaq were in town, you know, they were the greatest draw ever. You couldn't get a Heat ticket.
You know, it's amazing, too, is having an NHL franchise down there. And invariably, once or twice a year, you'll see the picture of a Florida NHL game where you have a couple of hundred people in the stands.
Yeah.
I've been to a Tampa Bay Lightning game, yeah, literally.
But Tampa Bay won a cup.
I know, yeah. But still.
But they don't draw either.
No,
but
not at not, all.
But you Panthers, get south.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Campbell was talking about that. He said you could hear the echo of the coaches yelling and the whistles during games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's lots of things to do, Lou Kanellis, in South Florida. And tonight, if you're headed that way, or maybe if you want to get on a plane and find a cheap fare, you can get All-Star Game tickets anywhere you want to sit. It's unbelievable.
Anywhere. Yeah. It's sad, but I'm excited for the game. And I know Dave just mentioned, you know, the Home Run Derby contest last night. And they had a pretty good crowd for the Home Run Derby because they had Giancarlo Stanton, their star, and Justin Bour, who plays for the Marlins, taking part. And I'm excited about tonight's game, even though we've just got Wade Davis representing the Cubs and Avi Garcia, the White Sox. And I had a chance to chat with both guys yesterday, including Joe Maddon, who will manage the National Leaguers. And, you know, Davis has been here, done that, third All-Star game. Maddon actually admitted to me that I don't think Davis will pitch tonight. He said if the game goes extra innings, he'll get in the game. But I'm not sure Davis pitches if it's just a nine-inning ball game. And Garcia was just absolutely giddy being there amongst All-Stars, his first All-Star appearance ever.
You know, it's interesting that Maddon would say that because it's not as if Davis has had a lot of games to save lately.
Yeah, you're right. I think Davey's appeared in 30 or 31 of the 88 games, and he's been absolutely, lights out.
Yeah.
16 for 16 in save opportunities. But I believe that this Cubs team is going to go into the second half, and they want no excuses. They want Davis to be as fresh as every player that isn't here. And we're going to find out by July 29th if Davis will be a member of this team after the 31st, because I would not be surprised if they don't make any headway, and, you know, they're 5.5 back of the Brewers now. If they're still 5.5 or 8.5 or 10.5 out, listen, Davis may be on the block because his contract runs out in October. He's a free agent. You saw the money that closers got, Jansen from the Dodgers, over the offseason, $80 million. Chapman, $80 million as well from the Yankees. I'm not sure that the Cubs want to be on the hook for $80 million for Wade Davis. I think they may move him if they don't make any headway on the Brewers.
Yeah, the wild card seems like it's a worse bet than winning the division at this point. It almost sounded, Lou, like Joe Maddon's a little sheepish about being there under this, even though this is how it works. You win
the pennant. You managed the All-Star game the following year, but to be there without any of his own players who won the World Series for him last year.
That's what he said. He said he was uncomfortable getting that All-Star game jersey on Sunday at Wrigley Field at that debacle. And, you know, he's here because of those guys who aren't here with him.
Right.
He feels a bit strange. You know, and chatting with Joe yesterday, guys, I know he said in the press conference, this just isn't, you know, positive speak on my part. I still believe in our guys. I'm not sure he does. I think that this is one of those, hey, man, it's just not working out this year. And we shouldn't be surprised, because when you look back at history in baseball, the last, you know, repeat World Series champ was the Yankees at the end of, 99-2000, when they rattled off three in a row. So accomplishing back-to-back World Series titles is incredibly difficult in baseball. And the Cubs haven't had any breaks this year, whether it's, you know, injuries to Hendricks or Hayward being out of the lineup or even Zobrist. It just hasn't happened, and I'm not sure it's going to happen, and that's unfortunate. Last year, what a difference. Last year in San Diego, all people talked about was the Cubs. Seven
sure.
All-Stars, five guys there starting in the infield. This year, the only thing they're saying about the Cubs is, what in the heck happened?
Well, you know, not to jump into football here, but what you don't want is a repeat of the 85 Bears, the best team maybe in NFL history that should have won three, four, five in a row, or four of five, or three of four. And it just didn't happen. I don't know that there's been any sort of significant distractions the way the Bears had them, but certainly they got some splaining to do, Lucy. But before we let you go, Luke and Ellis, and remind people the All-Star game is tonight on Fox, how's the restaurant? How's Reveille?
Reveille's doing great, and it's you know, still kicking it. And, yeah, Reveille's fun, and I've got, more importantly, you talked about the All-Star game on Fox, and I've got a pregame show at 6 o'clock. So let me plug that as well. Live.
Wow, look at you. What a professional. I plug your restaurant, you go with the plug for the company instead. You are a true pro.
Well, I am on their nickel down here, so I want to make sure.
Protecting your end, but that's good.
Waiting for room service, right, Lou?
Yeah, to check it out, see if he's going to bring it back to Reveille.
Exactly.
Hold on, the $30 omelet at the Biltmore.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah, perfect. Why not? All right, buddy. Thanks for the time. Have fun tonight.
Always good talking to you guys.
We'll
Thank you.
That's Lou Canellis up early down in South Florida, trying to find a way through that 100-degree heat index. It is 8:52. Got some sound to play for you, and we'll get with CLTV. He'll hook up with us coming up for the 9 o'clock hour coming up on 720 WGN. All right, a couple of pieces of sound I wanted you to hear. First off, Jimmy Kimmel last night talking to Kellyanne Conway about Donald Trump. You've heard the Kellyanne Conway tap dance on the news channels. How's Kellyanne and Kimmel do it? Here's that.
So let's cut right to it. Why did Donald Trump Jr. and the highest level campaign staff have a meeting with a Russian in the first place?
Okay, first of all, define meeting. When you say meeting, what are you talking about?
It's meeting. When people meet, they get together and they have a meeting.
What's a meeting?
A meeting is when people gather and talk. I don't know. It's a meeting. It's just a meeting.
Jimmy, do you eat meat?
Yeah.
Is that a meeting?
All right. So the lawyer admits she told them that.
Listen, we should be focusing on Hillary Clinton and the she-mails that she's been hiding.
But that's not what I'm asking you about. I'm asking you about the meeting. What specifically were they hoping to hear at this meeting?
What's a meeting, Jimmy?
I don't. You know what? Thank you very much, Kellyanne. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay. She might have had a cold if she sounded a little different there for you.
Right.
Chris Christie once thought to be a front runner for the White House. Then Bridgegate comes along, and he's Donald Trump's wingman.
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump something else. Then sits his big behind on the beach when he closed the beaches to the public, but took it for himself.
Right, a private beach that he sat on.
So now he is about to no longer be governor.
Yeah, his approval ratings, by the way, 15%.
And dropping.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Mike Francesa, who arguably Mike and the Mad Dog were the first big sports talk team in the country. Guess what Governor Christie wants to do now? He wants to be a sports talk guy.
Yeah.
He wants to be the new Mike Francesa. This is actual now. This is actual tape from his live audition, which went on as he sat in on the show. I think that was just yesterday, wasn't it, Mike? That was just yesterday afternoon.
Mike in Montclair. What's up, Mike?
Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you,
yeah,
you put your fat in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents.
Well, you know,
not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair.
Communists in Montclair.
You know,
you're a bully, Governor, and I don't like bullies.
You know what? And listen, I'm not the one who came on the air. Hey, hold on, Mike. Mike, I'm not the guy who came on the air, swore on the air.
Who swore?
And so you did.
I got to kick the heck out of you.
Yeah, you know, you're swearing on the air, Mike. You're a bum.
You know, bad optics. Okay?
Mike, I'd love to come look at your optics every day, buddy. And you know what, Mike? What matters is what you do. That's what matters.
And what have you done?
What I just did was stop polluting the airways with a guy like that.
That's how he's leaving office. You know, honestly, here's what we really need in radio. Another thug. Yes, there's not enough of that in talk radio and sports talk radio now. We'll come back, get your news next on 720 WGN.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, hot. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes.
The Lighthouse is one of the coolest things in Chicago, and, you know, we're trying to make sure it's not a well-kept secret. People who know, well, Dr. Slick joins us. You've been on the show before. Nice to see you again.
Thank you for
Happy
having
summer.
Me, Steve.
And you're the one that educated me specifically, but us in general, about the amount of clocks you guys make and the partnerships you have with companies are all over the place, including the government.
It's just amazing. The majority of our clocks are sold to the government, but we're branching out commercially, and Target Corporation is helping us do that.
That's nice. Target needs a win. This is a good win for Target.
Yes, a very good win. They're branching out to philanthropic causes.
Good.
And so they've adopted the Chicago Lighthouse locally. We have a very enlightened buyer who buys locally, Chicago-made products, Alexandra Johnston. And so she approached us, and now we have a line of clocks debuting in Target August 1st.
Very cool. Now, before you show the clock, let's do some basics here. The Lighthouse is staffed by whom, and what speed bump of life do they deal with, which makes this whole clock-making thing miraculous?
Yes. The clocks are manufactured by people who are blind and visually impaired.
It's unbelievable.
Yes. So, which suffer, I think we spoke about this before, 70% unemployment rate on average nationwide.
70.
A lot of veterans, too.
Yeah.
That you employ. A lot of veterans.
Yes, veterans. People with other disabilities besides blindness, and veterans.
Now, we talked about this last time, but it's tough for us that have the blessing of sight to visualize how a blind person could make a clock. You know, or with the hands, just go anywhere you want. But this is a very tactile, hands-on, handcrafted item, right?
One of our staff members said that she manufactures clocks, assembles them by touch, by smell, and using the context of our facility. So it's a well-oiled machine.
But the amazing thing to me is the amount of clocks you need to produce. This is not something where you can have someone spending, you know, day after day after day putting one clock together, like my fifth grade art project. Yeah. You know,
no, there are over 200,000 clocks that we assemble each year.
How about that?
We are the last manufacturing facility in the United States for wall clocks.
These are absolutely beautiful too. You know, it's not just, you know, the white background, we'll say, with the white numerals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not your standard issue.
No, these are different. The Chicago scenes are beautiful.
Hold one of those up for TV.
No, these are
on CLTV.
Apparently, Target sells so much with the Chicago clock on it. We're very proud of as Chicagoans, And so they sell a lot of Chicago flag memorabilia.
Hold it right there. That's okay. The Chicago flag. And obviously you see the hands on the clock and the lake and the city skyline in the background. You get a little bit of reflection off the glass. Andrea, hold another one up.
This is the L stop.
And that's the L stop, the map. And yeah, if you hold that up in the same position, turn it my way just a little. Perfect. So you can see the L stop map as well. And that's just two examples.
They're great for college dormitories, perfect for the target audience, and so to speak. And we also have a line of children's clocks for children's rooms. These are fashion-forward clocks.
That's a great kid's room clock.
So we've branched out from the standard issue.
I got to get that for Abigail.
Which
you do.
Yeah.
Andrea described,
yeah.
Right, which we're very proud of. But now we're being fashion-forward. And there's also a line of Larry Brotman clocks. This is from his book. This is a plate from his book, Chicago Unleashed. You were kind enough to have our board member, Larry Brotman, on the show. So his clocks will be sold bundled with his books in Target stores.
Very cool.
It's a dog looking at his reflection in the bean.
Yeah.
In Millennium Park.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Well, the dogs are just as interested in the bean as we are.
And then more architecturally, natural fibers, which sell well as well, cork clocks. And
that's cool. That's very cool.
So a full line of home, intended for the home, the kitchen, children's
rooms.
Very
artistic. Now, let me back you up a second. Did I hear you say you're the only ones producing wall clocks?
Our only competition is from China. So we are American made.
The last American wall clock maker is the Lighthouse?
Exactly. All other wall clocks are imported from China and assembled there. So this provides a job for a person who is blind. So I hope people will come out and purchase them. We're going to start off at the Division in Elston stores and a store in Wheaton. That's our suburban test market. And then branch out to 62 stores in Illinois.
Very cool. And this, again, starts on August 1st?
August 1st, yes. We're also available on Amazon.com.
Oh, there you go. Oh, and yeah.
And today's Prime Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
For people that don't know the full Lighthouse story, is it on the website?
It is on the website. We have our mission statement, Chicago Lighthouse. House.org.
ChicagoLighthouse.org. Doctor, I love what you do. You know that.
And, thank you.
You're always welcome here. ChicagoLighthouse.org. August 1st, you're going to be able to purchase these clocks at Target.
How cool is that?
Limited Targets or all the Targets?
In Chicago throughout August and September, and then we're going to branch out nationwide if we're successful in Illinois.
Oh, you will be.
Beautiful.
Those are beautiful.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're doing great
I really
work.
Appreciate your having us and letting people know that this is going to be happening.
Yeah, and you know what? We need to take a few stills of these clocks, too, so we can put them up on our stuff. Thank you again. ChicagoLighthouse.org. All right, 9:17. Let's come back, and we're going to play the 90s game.
Yes.
The 90s game for prizes here in just a second on 720 WGN. And then we danced. You never did the Macarena at a wedding, Dave?
No, I did it. I just don't remember.
Mike Jacobson, your 10 weddings you're going to this summer, they making you do the Macarena?
Haven't done that one yet.
You doing chicken dance classes from all the chicken dancing you're doing?
Not one chicken dance out of the 7 weddings I've gone to.
Is that right?
Thank goodness. Dance, I know.
Huh.
I think the chicken dance is very 90s.
Did you do the chicken dance at your wedding? See, I wouldn't know because I wasn't invited.
No.
Oh.
No, they had a nice, well.
There was no music at her wedding and everybody was out in 45 minutes.
Yep. I kick them out.
Right. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And only limited smiling.
Yep, that's about
and absolutely
right.
Absolutely no tears.
Chuck, Dan, and Mark. Apparently only dudes know the 90s. CNN's new series, The 90s, is out. In honor of that, we're going to play the 90s game every day this week. In my case, that means today and tomorrow. We'll play the 90s game. Your host and MC is Sandberg, who will ask us questions about the 90s. Chuck, Dan, and Mark will then have a choice to ask for our help or play on their own and risk losing fabulous prizes. All of our competitors today will get a ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers, and hi to Mike Kilstrom and everybody, and all the folks out at Ray Chevy as well. All right, let's start with Chuck.
I believe I'm hosting the 90s game because I graduated eighth grade in 1990. I graduated high school in 1994. So those are my prime 90s years.
You know what I remember about 1994? That's when I turned 32. What am I talking about? 33. Do the math. I was 33 in 1994.
I was young, but I remember it so well.
Wow. All right, let's go to the phone. You know, Harrison's in here.
Yeah.
And Harrison is shadowing Dave because someone has to because he'll wander into traffic.
Yeah, and I like what he said when you said when we were going to play the 90s game, what he said.
Harrison was born in 2000, and that's when I punched him. nice to have you, Harrison. I hope you're learning something from Mr. Ennett. All right, let's go to Chuck first here. Chuck, why do you know the 90s? What makes you such a 90s expert?
I don't know, because maybe I grew up in the 90s. I mean, okay. So I'm hoping I do.
All right, so here we go. Question will come from Sandberg. If you need our help, just ask. Here's the question.
Surfing the web has changed a lot since the 90s. Remember the dial-up internet?
Impression of it.
Which of the following websites was not around in the 1990s?
Oh, this is good.
Amazon,
mm-hmm.
eBay,
mm-hmm.
Match.com,
mm-hmm.
or Facebook?
I got it. Chuck, count on me if you don't know.
You don't know.
I was thinking Match.com.
Oh, Chuck, you sure you don't want to ask for help?
Yeah, I'll ask for help.
Facebook started in 2004, I believe.
So Facebook, the answer.
Lock it in.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I thought actually Facebook started in 2006.
No, I think it's 2004. Pretty sure I'm right about that.
Okay.
Because you know me, I know the 90s. I was old then. Chuck, your big winner. I have for you Pequod's Pizza in Chicago, Morton Grove, just dubbed the best pizza in Illinois by the Daily Meal. That's for you. And an app gift card, pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abtapp.com. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Hold on. Let's go to Dan. See how I saved him? I saved Chuck. Chuck was not going to be a winner.
Yeah, you did.
Dan, are you a child of the 90s?
I was born in the 60s, so I was 30 years old. I was in my 30s then.
Yeah, you and I.
I started remembering stuff then, so I should be good at this.
Yeah, the 90s were a good decade. Well, for the most part. We figured out yesterday I got fired 4 times in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we figured that out today.
Yeah, today.
Was that today?
Yeah, that was today.
Sorry.
Because you were counting, remember?
Yeah, every 2.5 years.
You thought it was 3, and then you went, no, 4.
Yeah, it is 4. It was, well, it doesn't matter.
okay.
All right, Sandberg, the question.
Nokia introduced its popular 5110 cell phone in 1998, a candy bar-sized model with snap-on interchangeable colorful faceplates. What game could you play on the Nokia 5110?
We have a choice.
Snake, Pong, Solitaire, Sudoku. Sudoku. How do you say that word?
Sudoku.
Sudoku, yeah.
Sudoku came later. Pong came earlier. What are the other two?
Snake and Solitaire.
And Solitaire has never been a good phone game.
I'm going to go with Snake.
With what?
You're going to go with what?
Snake.
What are the 4 choices again?
Snake.
Snake. Okay, I'll go with Snake.
I sort of like that. You guys like that choice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't ask us, but do you guys like that choice?
Yeah, I do.
Well, you think it's something else?
No, if he wants to pick Snake, that's okay.
All right, you're locking in Snake. And the answer is...
Good call.
Snake it is.
Yeah, I was trying to throw him.
I don't remember the game Snake.
I don't know.
It's like Tetris, only it's horizontal Tetris, kind of.
I never played it.
Oh, did you build up?
You build up the wall from the ground. Yeah.
I thought I didn't play it, but I did play that.
I had that phone. Nokia was the biggest phone maker in the world for a while.
Did you guys start out with the bag phone?
Yes.
We had one of those. Well, they were
bag phone, and then the giant Motorola with the big rubber whip antenna.
My StarTech flip phone was my favorite phone ever.
Oh, I had the Razor.
Favorite phone ever?
Yeah, I loved it. It was so light and cute.
Didn't you like the Razor? I could picture you with a Razor.
I had the Razor.
I had that too.
I didn't have the Razor, but I spent a lot of money. That phone bill was always very expensive with my flip phone.
I had to sign like a 50-year contract for my bag phone.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
I told you guys this. In 88 or 89, when I got one of the first Motorola giant rubber whip antennas phones in the Twin Cities where I was working at the time.
The brick
phone. My phone bill was $2,000 that month.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy?
I'm in the car.
Click. That's all I get.
And that was pre-texting.
Yeah, it was. Hey, Dan, you're a big winner. Dan, do you have kids?
No, I don't. But today's my birthday, so this gift should work out well.
So no pressure on the gift, Steve.
Total suck up.
Yeah.
I have for you Pequod's Pizza in Chicago. And Morton Grove just dubbed the best pizza in Illinois by Daily Meal. App gift card, pleasing people since 1936. You get the Chevy Drive Chicago. You know what I'll throw in the desktop indoor weather station?
Awesome.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
You don't know
who's
who
that
is.
From?
It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Man. Happy birthday, dude.
Thank you.
All right, hold the line if you would. And one more. It's Mark. Let me go to Mark. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing fine, Mark. Are you a child of the 90s?
No, I'm similar to Chuck. I was 25 to 35 in the 80s and finally woke up in the 90s.
Right, in the 90s, stuff stuck to your brain. All right, so again, if you need Dave, Andrea, or my help, collectively or separately, just ask. Here's your question.
This 1990s TV comedy show launched the careers of Jamie...
Need some water, dude? You okay?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right.
I need the cough button.
That's all right.
This 1990s TV comedy show launched the careers of Jamie Foxx, Jim Carrey, and Jennifer Lopez.
Oh.
Mad TV, Seinfeld, and Living Color, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, I could use some help.
All right, who do you want? All of us?
Yeah, all of you would be great.
Andrea's looking cocky. Go ahead.
It's in Living Color, I think.
I like that answer.
Me too.
You want to lock it in? Apparently you
do.
Congratulations.
Yeah, good. That was good.
You're a big winner as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, I got two adult and two general admissions to Sycamore Speedway for any time during the 2017 racing season, but please don't take the car. Let the drivers drive those. SycamoreSpeedway.com. I also have an app gift card for you at ABT.com. And you want to throw in some pizza? Pizza? Why not? Pequod's Pizza? Pequod's Pizza for you as well, Chicago Morton Grove. Congratulations, dude. Thanks. Those were easier than I thought they'd be for the callers.
Blame CNN.
Yeah, these are questions we pulled from CNN.
They were good. Let's play more.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, more of the 90s
game.
We'll
have to wait.
Oh. And then Pete McMurray will be filling in on Thursday and Friday. The reason that I'm saying that out loud is the listeners know, the staff knows, because Pete started texting an hour before I decided I'd take those 2 days off.
Oh, you know what, though? Pete knew I was taking a day off before I actually took it, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that worked out well.
The bad news for Pete is I'll be back Monday. But Pete will be here Thursday and Friday. And he'll be great, as he always is. 9:31, we're coming back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
It's the great Orion Samuelson. And how are you, my friend? Big O with us?
The Big O.
Yeah. He may have gotten a call. This is when we normally talk to Big O on Tuesdays. I'm waiting for him to come back from his call.
Big O's back in the saddle. He's busy. He's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. As well sing, I guess.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, I got me a fine life. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
All right, you've been listening to an exclusive report with Orion Samuelson. Oh, he's coming back on now. We're going to need a note from his mother.
Or Gloria. If it's from Gloria, it's okay.
No, whatever Gloria says is fine.
Well, I'm looking forward today to a tooth extraction surgically, so I was kind of getting ready for that. So.
What do you have to do to get ready for your tooth extraction?
Think about it.
So you wandered off to contemplate your tooth extraction.
Yes, I did.
You know
what?
You're Orion Samuelson. You can do whatever you please.
Well, at my age, I think so. But
all
some
right.
People do say, no, you can't, not at any age. So
we'd like to go around the horn, ask a couple of questions related to the business. right. and then see what's on your mind. But I think we already know that part. Here's an interesting story I saw this morning, and I thought of you, not because of the product, but because of your knowledge of the agriculture that it takes to produce the product. In Nevada a couple weeks ago, they legalized marijuana.
Right.
They are now running out of marijuana. They right. can't grow it fast enough. Less than 2 weeks after the sales of recreational marijuana kicked off, stores are running out of pot to sell. And on Friday, Governor Brian Sandoval endorsed the department's call for a statement of emergency, which would allow for more licensed distributors to be fast-tracked immediately. How about that?
Unbelievable. But, you know, at one time, before it was made legal in many states, and, of course, they would never come up with the figures, but they said that marijuana was the biggest cash crop in the United States, beating out corn, soybeans, and wheat.
So in a state that's cash-strapped in budget, the budget mess that we're in, Troy Murray outside the building right now, security! Security, please clear the sidewalk. Troy Murray, Blackhawks legend, comes by and waves, and I yell at him. But in a state that's so cash-strapped like we are, doesn't it make sense that Illinois ought to make this legal, find a way to make it legal and regulate it and tax it?
Yes, absolutely, if they do tax it, because there are so many states now that have approved its use. And Illinois farmers, I'm sure, could grow a good crop of marijuana, and it would be profitable. So, yes. If we're going to approve it legally, I say then we ought to be growing it.
Now, there's lots of misnomers about farmers, obviously. Lots of myths about the big city folks think they know farmers. There's people that would go, well, farmers aren't going to grow marijuana. Farmers have morality that wouldn't allow them to grow marijuana. I don't think that's true at all. You have farmers of all ages and farmers of different belief systems, but you also have farmers who are running a business.
That's right. Some of them would be, from a moral standpoint, opposed to growing it, but a lot of other people would take a look, and I'm not sure what it takes to grow marijuana, what fertilizer it takes. I'm not sure what pests and weeds attack marijuana, because I've never grown any and I've never used any, but anyway, there are farmers out there who say, hey, this is a business, this is a cash crop. And as I said earlier, at one time, it was the biggest cash crop that we couldn't talk about in Illinois. But several people who said, yes, it's bigger than corn and soybeans.
And if you're growing wheat, oats, and barley, do you grow barley? I think you grow
yes.
barley. If you're growing wheat, oats, and barley, which makes legal alcohol,
right.
then if wheat is legal, if pot's legal, then you know you're pretty much under the same guidelines. So. I don't see the issue.
Well, let's you and I form a corporation, and we'll get some good farmers to take over for us, and we'll produce it.
Yeah, but and I'm like you. I've never used it. I have no interest in using it. But
I have no interest in it either.
I do have an interest in the state succeeding fiscally, and it's certainly not right now. All right, let's shift our topic to corn. Let's go live to Andre in the field.
I'm not in the field, but I was in the field. Not completely literally, but I love sweet corn. I've been buying a lot of corn. I went to two different grocery stores in the past week, and the corn, it just seems to me, in the husk is not as long or thick or ripe as it once was. Are we waiting for the sweet corn crop, or is the corn just getting smaller inside the husk on the cob?
No, we are waiting for the sweet corn crop. At this point, much of what you find at farmers markets, not all, is grown in other parts of the country and brought in, because I haven't checked with our friends at MeRye recently, but this is a good reminder to do it. Mm. I would guess we're at about at the point where locally grown sweet corn will become very much available. So we may be dealing with the sweet corn crop that is imported from southern farmers. But the other thing to remember is that sweet corn growers have to plant a crop every 2 weeks so that they can harvest throughout the summer, and it continues to provide sweet corn into, well, a lot of people like to have it through Halloween
because they have
a lot of parties at the farmers markets and at at other markets. So I would guess you're going to see a difference when we start getting the locally grown sweet corn market.
I can't wait, because the Mirai is the best. And I think when you're used to that and you go to the store, and it's not picking on the stores, it's just that, you know, you take off the husk and it's like a little mini corn on the cob.
It's like a starter kit for corn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dave Ennett, question for O.
Yeah, so we've had these monsoons, these very heavy rains over the past several days. The weeds in my flower beds are going crazy, Big O. So is this having a very positive effect on the crops now?
Well, from the standpoint of growth, and what you need to get, Dave, is a hoe.
Oh, I've got that.
Right. Yeah, hey, because that's how you keep up with weeds, because it's a little
That's definitely on Nick's show, right, out of context. To hear Ori and Samuelson say you need to get a hoe, if that's not on Nick's show, it's never going to be.
H-O-E.
Oh, okay. All right.
But, yeah, the tools that farmers can use, of course, have gone through a tremendous amount of research and have been approved by FDA and USDA and every other government agency. But when it comes to your garden, you've got to really read the label to make sure you don't get something that will kill everything, because Roundup, for example, will kill anything and everything that hasn't been genetically altered so it can withstand the Roundup and live through the application that will take out all the weeds. So you can bend over and pull them by hand, or you can use the H-O-E.
Yeah. Well, I've been bending over and...
You're just trying now.
Bending over and pulling it by hand also makes the cut. And Big O, what's on your mind before we let you go?
Well, let me see. Have to go back to Arizona next weekend for an update on the bypass leg surgery that they did on me. And so I'm looking forward to going where the temperature will be 115 degrees. And but, you know, they have air conditioning in Arizona just like we have furnaces here in Chicago.
Just another
Out and join me. Spend some time in the pool. I think I can finally get in the pool. I think the surgeons will say, okay. It's now okay, but it certainly wasn't for the last 4 or 5 months.
Ori and I like to go a little one-on-one water polo.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he'll take he'll take that gun of his and fire the ball right at my head. Right at my head.
You have to.
It's an easy target to hit. thanks for the education, sir. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, and have a good week.
There you go. That's Ori and Samuelson. Back with Bill and Wendy coming up, and hi to our friends at CLTV. Thanks to everybody there on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy are here. Wendy is the owner-operator of two young sons. They're both teenagers, aren't they?
Yes, 14 and 18.
And Bill...
Controversial names, don't you think?
They're her kids?
Yeah, 14 and 18.
So. Yeah, I think so.
Very numeric.
That's how you hide. but your daughters are now in their 20s, right?
Yeah, they're 20 and 20.
And I've got a 26 and a 30-year-old. But
stop for just a second and think about that. You have a 30-year-old.
Don't you feel old? That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. It seems impossible, doesn't it?
I feel mostly old when I stand up and try to walk. but the reason I bring this up is there's a story today, and I'm wondering how sound you'd have to be sleeping to have this happen. Do your boys sleep soundly?
Well, yeah, once they fall asleep, they're
hard to wake them up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Check this out. Ward, Colorado, a teen staffer at a Colorado camp, 19-year-old boy, woke up Sunday morning to find a bear biting his head and trying to drag him away. The 19-year-old woke up at 4 a.m. to a, quote, crunching sound with his head inside the mouth of the bear.
That's a bad dream.
He kicked and punched the bear, and other people woke up to hit at the bear, which eventually dropped him off. The staffer, identified only as Dylan, was treated briefly at the hospital and released.
Sure.
My boys would sleep through that.
No
but
way.
Now, I bet if that
How
was a girl...
How sad do you have to be sleeping to have a bear eating you?
If that was a girl, just the bear walking up would have caused her to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, because she would have gotten up and... I'm trying to sleep!
Right.
Keep it down.
Right. Can't you come by and bite my head at 9?
All right. Boys would think there'd be a snooze alarm on the bear. They'd keep hitting the bear on the head. Right. I need 9 more minutes. Come on.
Back with that show, Bill and Wendy, right after this.